80s, 90s, 2000s, every track, female artist or female lead singer in a band. So it should be a lot of fun. With the tournament, things get changed up every week. So we've got lots of stuff. Guys, enjoy. We'll see you out and about.
Everyone have a great weekend.
Be safe.
Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm Dinah Jansen, and with me is CFRC Local Journalism Initiative news producer Jesse Bell. This regional news program features news from Kingston and area provided by local and regional journalists through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Welcome and enjoy. Hello and welcome to The Corridor. I'm Dinah Jansen, bringing you the latest in local and regional news in collaboration with our partner media outlets. Jesse Bell will be joining us again in just a couple of weeks. Our first story is by CFRC's own Local Journalism Initiative reporter Christina Laurie on an uncertain future for the Crossroads Village Project, previously known as the Sleeping Cabin Program in Kingston. Over to you, Chris.
Hello, I'm Christina Laurie, Local Journalism Initiative reporter for CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Coming up are some of the top news stories in Kingston and the Islands. You can listen to CFRC's news programs Today in YGK and Kingston Currents on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify and Apple Music. If you have any Kingston news tips you'd like to share, you can reach me at news@cfrc.ca. The future of the Sleeping Cabin Program, recently rebranded as the Crossroads Village Project, is currently uncertain after Our Livable Solutions, OLS, announced that the initiative has been placed on hold due to a loss of operational funding. It was announced in fall 2023 that the project would wind down by September 30th, 2024. In July, the project made a major comeback, OLS managing to secure their own operational funding and a permanent location for a cabin community courtesy of Crossroads United Church, and council agreeing to cover costs for the development of the site and sell OLS the cabins for $1. A collapse in the agreement between OLS and their operational funding source has halted progress on this relocation, which was intended to ensure stability for residents as the program transitioned. All OLS staff have received notices of the end of their employment on September 30th, 2024. The City of Kingston released a statement in response to this announcement, reiterating its commitment to support the project with the agreed-upon July arrangement of selling the cabins to OLS for $1 and providing $500,000 for their site preparation and capital development expenses, as well as assisting in finding housing in the meantime for current cabin residents. As Kingston grapples with a growing housing crisis, over 633 individuals currently experiencing homelessness, OLS is currently working with the city to provide housing solutions to the 11 current cabin residents ahead of the program's planned wind down by September 30th. I sat down with Executive Director of OLS, Crystal Wilson, to speak about the current state of the project and what comes next. OLS has announced the Crossroads Village project is now on hold, the reason being operating funds falling through for OLS. I was wondering if you could expand upon how this ended up happening and the factors at play here.
So I guess it's a longer timeline. So last November, Homestead and through Brett Smith had generously offered a location that they weren't using called Arena Marina. And we were expecting to go there. The donation was over $900,000, which included all the buildup plus some operating costs for 3 years. And unfortunately, the city declined that offer. And when they declined it, they also chose to wind down the pilot project we've been running. And then again in April, we went back to City Council and they chose again to wind down the program. So our standard source of operating funds was gone. And then there was a partnership with a private donor, but that's fallen through. So without that, we need to be able to pay our staff, right? And so we're working on some new partnerships and it's looking pretty hopeful. We're very hopeful that we'll be able to open before winter, but it'll be because of private donors and foundations that helping us out if it works out. In general, the three levels of government, what ends up happening is a nonprofit group will try to launch an initiative to get people housed or, you know, run food programs or whatever. And often what happens is you'll get capital costs, but not the appropriate amount or any operating costs. And the the governments leave it up to the nonprofits to find that money, whether it's through donations or through foundations or, you know, grant writing all the time. And it makes it really difficult on the groups that are trying to stay focused on the work they're trying to do. Because our, you know, for us, our job is to bring people into transition housing and stabilize them and help them get ready for permanent housing. And, but if we're spending all of our time chasing money, it's a lot of energy that we're not putting into the people that we support. And then all of the liability for these activities gets put on the nonprofits as well. And it, this is across the board. So it's not just us paying. It's just the way the government functions in terms of, you know, providing housing. It ends up being the housing providers constantly chasing money, trying to find, and we're all competing for the same dollars, right? It would be much more helpful if the three levels of government could come up with a way to provide stable revenue for the nonprofits to provide housing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to tack on the end there, I was wondering if you could provide a statement about the partnership that fell through.
It's a tough one. I would just say that the partnership has fallen through.
So where are cabin residents at right now? What happens after that September 30th wind down deadline now that we don't have Crossroads Village to look forward to right at the deadline?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've all been working really hard. The city's been facilitating lots of conversations with local housing providers and service providers. We were hoping for the Canada Ontario Housing Benefit to become available because it's normally open for funding for new applications May 1st. And unfortunately, the Ford government has not opened it for new applications yet. So we were hoping that would open and to be able to move people to market housing, but it hasn't happened. We kept waiting for that. And then, so now the local service providers have stepped up and provided space within their agencies to accommodate most of the people. So we moved somebody this morning, somebody else moved last week. We still have 10 to worry about. Most of them have pretty good plans in place. We're just firming up. You know, we're just firming up the housing situations, and when people are moving into those options, and then the city is going to be providing funding for hotel stays until those housing options are available.
Okay, that's good to know that there's something in the interim.
We've all done our best, the city and OLS and the mm-hmm. service provider, find ways to be able to accommodate people in an overcrowded system already, to find ways to accommodate all of our residents. Not all of the housing is 100% ideal, but it gives them a roof over their head until they can find more permanent housing. So we're hopeful that just keeping them stable and not sending them back to the streets will help move them into permanent housing eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you might not be able to say, but who are some of those service providers who are providing support during this time?
You know, the standard ones, it's Lions Heart and Home-Based Housing, Dawn House. One of our residents found market housing on their own, so that was great.
Sounds good. And how many residents do you have currently?
As of today, we have 9 that are here. One unfortunately is in the hospital right now, but and then we have to worry about that person's situation once we know what's going on with them. But we have 9 in the cabins right now.
You mentioned that you do have expectations that you might be able to move forward with Crossroads Village in the winter. What's sort of on the horizon for OLS? Are there partnerships that you're looking forward to, or any folks who've stepped forward with donations? What kind of makes you hope that you'll be able to open in the winter?
I think I can say we've had some really great conversations. And we're really hopeful that some of them will come through, whether it's, you know, one organization or person stepping up to support us to start out, or it's a combination of organizations. It looks like it'll end up being a combination of places to get us moving forward. We're having really good conversations, so I'm hopeful. And then for our common building that has bathrooms and showers and the kitchen, shared facilities, the manufacturer of our cabins has stepped up and is going to be providing the common building at a significantly reduced, like they're eating a lot of the cost of it. Mm-hmm. So we'll be well under budget for capital expenditures. And it's going to be built in Niagara Falls, and then they'll be able to put it together really quickly. They just ship it down in four sections and then piece it together in Kingston. So once we can prepare the site in terms of excavating for utilities and doing all the electrical hookup and stuff, the common building can be put together in a matter of a couple of days.
That's great. Yeah. And yeah, I was wondering if you could give us a bit of a vague timeline in terms of getting the site excavated and actually being fully set up at mm-hmm. Crossroads United Church.
So we originally had planned for a 6-week start from shovels in the ground to done. Mm-hmm. But because of what Modular Energy Systems is offering, we can actually speed that up quite a bit. So it should be only be a couple of weeks of site preparation, and then the main building comes in. We should be ready to go. So, which is why we're hopeful that we can get open before winter. So as long as we can excavate before winter, then we should be able to open in the winter or before the winter. Yeah. If we don't get the funding in place before the winter starts, we won't be able to do the excavation. So we'll have to wait until the spring then.
The recent release from the city also notably accused OLS of spreading misinformation, stating, quote, "We are also disheartened to hear misinformation circulated by OLS, placing blame on the city for not financially supporting the CAPN program." When asked for clarification on this statement by CFRC, the city responded, quote, "The misinformation we refer to was OLS stating that the city withdrew funding on the project, which is incorrect. The city did not commit to operating funds, but did commit capital funding totaling $500,000 for their site preparation and capital development expenses related to a common amenities building, accessible sidewalks, and ramps. Should OLS secure the necessary operating funds within the 2-year period approved by council," end quote. Crystal commented on this and the clarification provided to CFRC.
And I guess I'm pretty confused by that, because we did send our media release to saying that we're putting the project on hold. The city was well aware through meetings that it was going to end up being put on hold, that we had lost the partnership. And so I'm pretty confused by that statement, because in our media release, we very clearly said the city's contributing capital costs, and it's the partnership with the operating costs that had fallen apart.
As stated by Crystal, OLS has hopes that the project will be up and running before the winter. This has been Christina Laurie, Local Journalism Initiative reporter with CFRC News.
And thank you to Christina Laurie for that report. Coming up next, we have a story by Owen Fullerton, LJI reporter for YGK News, on the opening of a new pediatric applied behavior analysis clinic in Kingston. Last Saturday, the Children's Wellness Center in Kingston hosted the grand opening of a new Pediatric Applied Behavior Analysis, or ABA, clinic. It's a space that's dedicated to providing services to all children, and specifically those with autism spectrum disorder and other developmental disabilities. The Children's Wellness Center has previously offered in-home services on a consultative basis, primarily focused on providing parents or caregivers with training around common issues their child may deal with, often related to issues like feeding, sleep, or toilet training. Generally, the Wellness Center's focus is on helping children with developmental disabilities learn the daily living skills that tend to come more easily to their peers. Megan Smith, clinical director and co-founder of the Wellness Center, says the opening of this new clinic now allows them to expand their services to offer one-to-one services between therapists and children with developmental disabilities. "We are just consulting with families and trying to teach caregivers how to increase these skills in these areas," Smith said. "Opening the center, we've hired therapists so that we can do one-on-one skills building. That's not something we were really doing before, and we were really focused on caregiver-mediated services." Smith says there's a huge wait list for families to access community and clinic-based behavioral services, often exceeding 6 months just to access services, and she and her team are hopeful this expansion can help cut down that wait list. She says the services they'll now be able to offer have been sought after by their existing clients for some time. "We heard from clients who accessed our service while they were on our wait list for the one-to-one service how long they have been waiting for," Smith said. "We just thought it was something that we could kind of help to fill a gap in the community." The most recent data released in June points towards over 73,000 children in Ontario on the wait list to access Ontario's autism program. Smith says the changes Ontario has made to accessing its autism program have made it harder on service providers, children, and their caregivers. "Within that world of autism, we all know that early and comprehensive intervention is really, really important. So it's a huge challenge for all families," Smith said. The Wellness Center's grand opening for the new clinic was held on Saturday, September 28th, and they're officially open for business and accepting clients for the new services. And thank you to Owen Fullerton for that story. Up next, we have Ted Evans, LJI reporter for CJAI Amherst Island Radio, with a report on Loyalist Township's retention of low water rates to support a new water station.
Hi, I'm Ted Evans, local journalism initiative reporter and news director at CJAI Amherst Island Radio, 101.3 FM in Stella, Ontario. Coming up are some of the top news stories from Loyalist Township. You can hear Amherst Island Radio's news program, North Shore News, on 101.3 Amherst Island Radio or online at cjai.ca. For showtimes throughout the week, check the schedule on our website at cjai.ca. Loyalist Township Council agreed to include lower bulk water rates for users of a new water station that's expected to be fully operational this fall. The new low-volume bulk water station will be located alongside the existing bulk water station at County Road 6 and Taylor Kidd Boulevard. This site was selected for the convenience of vehicles being able to fill up their containers and existing infrastructure to support the installation. The existing bulk water station isn't capable of filling low-volume containers due to the high rate of flow. The station will be open year-round with the ability to fill containers up to 1,000 liters. Staff are expecting significant interest in the station as many members of the public have requested the service specifically. Since 2016, residents have been able to fill small containers of water at the Odessa office during the summer months. The original intent of this tap being turned on was to provide relief to rural residents during drought conditions. But according to staff's report, the local demand for a station that can fill small containers has grown steadily over the past years. The tap is now in full-time use by residents as well as some commercial businesses and farms. Director of Economic Growth and Community Development Services at Loyalist Township, Marie-José Merritt, explains that public needs have outgrown the old process.
What we've noticed here in the second or third year that we've offered the tap outside is we can't really control where the residents are coming from. At some point, there's even things on social media that advertise free water at the Odessa office, so people from all over the place were picking up water, same with landscaping company. So I would imagine that for the low water, the low volume water station, you're going to have the smaller tanker, like the 1 cubic meter totes that you have in the back of the pickup truck. They will be using a smaller station. So it's primarily for the residents, but you can control where people are coming from, and you're going to have some commercial use.
The current bulk water rate was initially approved by council at 77% of the overall consumption rate to produce water. This number has escalated annually. Staff compiled bulk water rates of neighboring municipalities and provided analysis on the overall cost of producing water. They also looked at factors that may not allow for competitive rates unless a discount is provided. Merritt describes the decision to keep costs low for users.
It is at a discounted rate. The last time that the rates were looked at in 2019, we knew that the bulk water hauler was rate was at about 77% of the rates for the users in the system. Typically, so you wouldn't have necessarily 100% of the distribution cost when you're using the water hauler station. So it made sense to have a discounted rate for that type of use.
Staff estimated that upwards of 140 cubic meters of water per season was dispensed at the Odessa office location, with most of the containers being 1 cubic meter or less. This amount of usage created traffic issues in the area that staff are hoping to eliminate with the new location. The new station will only accept electronic payment methods via a simple card tap system. This is to mitigate any risk of vandalism or any attempts to break into the station with the handling of currency. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans.
And thank you to Ted Evans for that report. Up next, we have a story from Keith Dempsey, Local Journalism Initiative reporter for the Brockville Recorder and Times, on Gananoque's search for a new police chief. Gananoque Police Chief Scott Gee has resigned from the Town Police Service effective January 1st. Gee is now joining Kingston Police as the second deputy chief. Gananoque Mayor John Beddoes thanked Gee for his service. "I'm really happy that other people recognize the excellence of Scott Gee," said Beddoes. "People will look for new challenges to achieve their personal goals." G, a Kingston native who has been with the Gananoque Police Service for 21 years, is now joining the Kingston Police Service. G, who started his career in policing with Gananoque Police Service in 2003, told the Kingston Whig Standard that he's looking forward to helping to lead his hometown's police service. I've lived either in Kingston or just north of the city for over 40 years, said G. To come to a larger service with the next challenge, I'm excited for that, and I'm excited to see what that opportunity brings as well. G has been the police chief of Gananoque since May 2021. He will start his new role in Kingston on January 1st, 2025. I am looking forward to working alongside Deputy Chief Designate G, Kingston Police Chief Scott Fraser said in a prepared statement. As the Kingston Police restructures the organization, his experience and knowledge will be an asset to the senior leadership team. Together, we will work to bring the police board's vision to the Kingston Police. Beddoes said the town of Gananoque will begin the process to find a successor. I'm not prepared to give any more comment on this at this time, said the mayor. They're going to be big shoes to fill, but we'll get on with it, and I'm certain the Gananoque Police Service will continue to provide the superb quality of service to the community in the future, like it always has, Beddoes said. And thank you to Keith Dempsey for that report. Coming up next, we have another report from CJAI-FM's LJI reporter Ted Evans on a new three-year agreement between Loyalist Township and the Amherst Island Recreation Association that provides new funding to the association. Now, over to Ted.
At their meeting this week, Loyalist Township Council agreed on a $5,000 annual operating fee to be paid to the Amherst Island Recreation Association. This is part of a three-year agreement, which will automatically renew for an additional one-year term. The money will be funded from the township's annual operating budget. According to staff's report, the delivery of recreation and leisure programming on the island has provided challenges in the past. Previously, the Amherst Island Recreation Committee would organize and implement various programming on the island suitable for all ages and abilities. The committee recently reestablished itself as a not-for-profit volunteer organization now known as the Amherst Island Recreation Association. Originally, the recommendation included the $5,000 annual operating fee to be prorated. Councillor Lorna Willis explained the change to the recommendation.
The report suggests that the $5,000 2024 fee be prorated, so they would essentially be getting 4 months worth of it. Concern I have with that is because there were so many moving parts to getting these agreements together, it took longer than we expected, and the group's ability to fundraise during that time was curtailed because there was no event space for them. However, they've incurred costs, assuming that what will be coming in this year is the $5,000. It was the budgeted amount, so I'm asking council to consider the full $5,000 amount.
Willis notes the amount of work by staff and volunteers over the years.
It has been about 6 years of discussions with the former Amherst Island Recreation Committee and now the new association. And a lot of it hinged on the previous council decision that supported reclaiming the Amherst Island Community Center and the use of it. So much work has been done in a year where this department has been very busy. I also want to acknowledge past and current volunteers who are running the recreation activities on the island.
Councillor Paul Proderick spoke about the importance of backing a project like this one.
Anytime a community group, nonprofit, wants to provide services that, to be honest, we would struggle to provide the staffing and give them the time on the island that we should support that as best we can.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans.
And thank you once again to Ted Evans for that report. And coming up next, we have Noah Wilson, our new intern here at CFRC, with this weekend's concert and events calendar.
And now it's time for the CFRC Community Concerts and Events Calendar for September 30th to October 6th. Have an event you'd like covered on our website and news programming? Contact us via cfrc.ca today. Thursday, October 3rd. And then there was House. Trinity's Night of EDM returns this Thursday night. Come enjoy the music, have a good time, and let loose on the dance floor. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.ca. Come join the fun on Thursday at 10 p.m. The pride of Lynn Lake, Manitoba, Tom Cochran makes a stop this Thursday at the Kingston Grand Theater to deliver a night of classic and unforgettable tunes. This Canadian Hall of Famer needs no introduction. Come see a living legend yourself as he performs some of his iconic hits this Thursday the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. and gets swept away by the music. Tickets are available on the Kingston Grand Theater website. Friday, October 4th. This Friday, come experience a night of classic jazz with the Hot Sardines live at the Kingston Grand Theater. Fueled by the belief that classic jazz feeds the heart and soul, the Hot Sardines are on a mission to make old sounds new again and prove that joyful music can bring people together in a disconnected world. Come see the magic October 4th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available online on the Kingston Grand Theater website. Saturday, October 5th. This Saturday, get ready for a night of country melodies as Jordan Davis's Damn Good Time World Tour makes its stop in Kingston at the Slush Puppy Place this Saturday at 7 p.m. Enjoy some of this multi-platinum artist's greatest hits as he explores the evolution and progress in the country music industry and is sure to give Kingston an experience unlike any other. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.ca. Witches, warlocks, and sorcerers of all genders, come one, come all, for the annual Kingston Witches Walk. Don your most bewitching attire and join fellow magic enthusiasts for an unforgettable night of spellbinding, family-friendly entertainment. This year, by participating, you'll be supporting the Elizabeth Fry Society Kingston, a local charity dedicated to empowering women through valuable resources and support. Be sure to RSVP on the official website, kingstonwitcheswalk.ca, for all the information you need. Welcome, ghastly beings and spectral souls, to the chilling depths of the second annual Bewitching Halloween Drag Show, also known as the Bewitching Halloween Ball. Presented by the sinister alliance of Bewitched, Reel Out, and Kingston Writers Fest, this evening promises to ensnare your senses and raise haunting funds for Kingston Writers Fest and Reel Out. Doors open at 8 p.m. and tickets are available on eventbrite.ca. The Chalmers United Church is hosting a special reunion for the Chalmers Church Choir and their former director, David Cameron, on Saturday, October 5th, 2024. This event will feature a public performance at 3 p.m., showcasing works by various renowned composers. Come enjoy the music and see singers who have served under Cameron's direction across the decades at Chalmers United Church. Admission is free. Sunday, October 6th. Ray Bonneville is performing live this Sunday, October 6th at the Broom Factory. Come enjoy a night of introspective and thoughtful blues and folk music suitable for all ages. Doors open at 7 p.m. and tickets are available on ticketscene.ca.
Thank you so much, Noah, for those updates. And now it's time for the CFRC Environment Canada weather forecast. Tonight, we'll have clear skies with fog patches developing overnight, wind southwest at 30 kilometers an hour, becoming light in the evening with a low of 11. On Friday, October 4th, we'll see increasing cloudiness with a high of 21. Friday night, cloudy periods with a 40% chance of showers and a low of 8. On Saturday, October 5th, we'll have sunny skies and a high of 20. Saturday night, clear skies with a low of 7. On Sunday, we'll have a mix of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 19. Sunday night, we have cloudy skies with a 70% chance of showers and a low of 10 in the forecast. And that's a wrap for this week's edition of The Corridor, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Don't forget to visit CFRC.ca for the latest in local and regional news headlines, concert and events listings, and more. You can also follow CFRC on Facebook and Instagram at CFRC Music and on Twitter at CFRC. We'll be back next week with more in local and regional news. Thank you for tuning into The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. We'll see you next time.
Homecoming is just a couple days away. Get ready for a weekend packed with fun, memories, and excitement. Whether you're looking to reconnect, celebrate, or just enjoy the festivities, there's something for everyone. Don't miss out. Find all the details and plan your perfect weekend at queensu.ca/alumni/homecoming.
It's been said that football is a game of inches. Even the smallest margin can mean the difference between victory and defeat. Elation and agony. The next round, or your final game. In 2023, the Gaels were on the wrong side of that margin as they lost their home opener in dramatic, heartbreaking fashion to the Laurier Golden Hawks. Now the Gaels find themselves in the role of the Road Warriors, traveling to Laurier's home turf, hungry for revenge. Who will prevail in this clash of Vanier Cup contenders? On Saturday, tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM or CFRC.ca to catch all the pulse-pounding action. The CFRC pregame show will begin at 12:45 p.m. with a 1 p.m. scheduled kickoff time. We hope you'll join us for this classic clash between two powerhouse programs.
Hey, I'm Julian Taylor, and I'm excited that my radio show, The Jukebox, can now be heard on CFRC 101.9 FM out of Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. The show is all-inclusive. I only play music that I love and think that you'll love, too. So tune in every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to noon right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
This is Sean Kelly, Chris Brown, and Sarah Harmer saying
C-F-R-C.
You're listening to 101.9
in Kingston. Welcome to Absolutely Frivolous, one of the best audio comedy shows going on right now here in Canada. You are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located on the web at cfrc.ca. All our contact information is there. You can call us 533-CFRC or try our business line 533-2121. You can email us at cfrc@ams.queensu.ca, or you can head on down to the station. We are located at Carruthers Hall here on Queen's campus. There's a great map on cfrc.ca indicating we are located right beside the bookstore. CFRC is a wonderful place to volunteer. You're welcome to come here anytime and talk to the staff. A lot of our volunteers are longtime volunteers. We enjoy programming and doing behind-the-scenes things as well, such as volunteering at events and working on the website. There's all kinds of things that you can participate in and not necessarily do on-air radio. So check us out. Come on down to the station or give us a call. Like I said, our number is 533-CFRC. Erwin Barker was a Canadian comedian and writer. He wrote for This Hour Has 22 Minutes and the Rick Mercer Report, and he was nominated for 4 Gemini Awards as a writer and 1 as a stand-up performer for his 2005 performance at the Halifax Comedy Festival. Erwin was also nominated for 3 Writers Guild of Canada Screenwriters Award, and he won the award in 2008. He was also a regular writer and contributor for CBC Radio's The Debaters. In 2007, Barker was diagnosed with a rare type of terminal cancer. He joked that his doctor had given him 12 months to live, but my lawyer says he can get it down to 8. After his diagnosis, he was active as an inspirational speaker on how he used humor as a vital coping mechanism in his personal fight against cancer. He was a headline performer at numerous cancer fundraisers, as well as a keynote speaker for conferences dealing with cancer and palliative care. His first year of cancer treatment was the subject of a CTV documentary entitled That's My Time. The documentary debuted at the 2008 Atlantic Film Festival and was nationally televised in September 2008. Reaction to Barker's presentations on comedy and cancer have been overwhelmingly positive. In Barker's own words, "Cancer has my body, but not my spirit, and I'll continue to make jokes, not so much about cancer, but in spite of it." He died in Toronto on June 21st, 2010.
I don't know why the pilot is so concerned that we know who he is. You know, you're trying to have a little sleep on the plane, but oh no, they can't do that.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. It's your captain speaking, Captain Richardson.
Oh man, if only I had a pen, huh? Put that on my list of things I care nothing about. Captain Richardson, was that it? I gotta remember this now? For what? You know, 3 years later, midnight at Burger King.
Can I take your order, please?
Captain Richardson? Hey. It's me, Irwin. 8A. How you doing, man? Do a show. Took the bus
and this big greasy guy sitting beside me, and I fell asleep, had my head flopped over and just landed on this guy's shoulder, and he just freaked out on me and just bang, practically put me through the window. Guy looks at me and he goes, "What are you, gay?" Like that would be my big move, huh? Yeah. Spent the winter here in Halifax. Got to experience the big hurricane, Juan. That was quite... I love the fact that the armed forces were in there afterwards to clean up all the debris and the branches and everything. In camouflage, that was interesting. It's just... We had the flooding in Winnipeg, and they had the armed forces in there as well, putting up sandbags to help save the city. Toronto, of course, the big blizzard, they had the army in there, shovel them out. Montreal, the ice storm. That's what I love about Canada. We're the type of country where when you see troops moving in, right away you're thinking, oh, looks like we're in for some bad weather.
This is Bob Duthie, station volunteer from 1958 to 1959. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Bluegrass is great music, but on Sunday mornings you can hear the best of bluegrass, gospel bluegrass, on Brother Brian's Bluegrass Show. Tune in to 101.9 FM to hear some old, some new, some standards, and some bluegrass with a big mix of groups, some national, some international, and a lot of local groups and musicians. Along with great music, you get an informative mix of weather, traffic info, record and group reviews, and even some humor to start your Sunday off the right way. Don't forget, every Sunday morning, 8 to 10, listen to Gospel Bluegrass on Brother Brian's Bluegrass Show on CFRC 101.9 Queen's University Radio.
Right, now, my final guest tonight is an 84-year-old man. During his long, distinguished, maverick political career, he's been famous for his outspoken views and the outspoken way of speaking them. In 1963, he reduced interviewer David Frost to a gibbering wreck of tears. In a recent TV debate with feminist Andrea Dworkin, he caused outrage when he told her to shut up and shave. And only last week, he sensationally renounced his peerage and left the House of Lords. I'd better watch out, and so would you, as we get to know Lord Morgan of Glossop. Knowing me, Alan Partridge, knowing you, Lord Morgan of Glossop, aha.
No.
No, you're not going to do that. Okay. Now, you've just resigned from the House of Lords. Do you want to tell us about that?
1 week ago, I stood up in the House of Lords, and I said, "My lords and ladies, you're all arses. Goodbye."
Great. You've just published your autobiography. What's that about?
It's about my life, you ask.
You describe your childhood in the book, and I imagine your life in Glossop in Derbyshire. I imagine a life of cobbly streets, of inclement weather, a wholesome existence. Is that fair?
When I was five, I walked into the parlour and I witnessed my father shooting my mother. He then placed the shotgun into his own mouth and blew his brains out.
So it wasn't an idyllic childhood.
On the contrary, I was spared the ridiculous hypocrisy of family life. The only friend a man needs is the bottle.
Right.
No doubt, then, if you're so fond of the bottle, you'll be quite pleased that we left a bottle of 10-year-old malt in your dressing room.
Yes, it's all gone.
Do you enjoy it?
Piss.
You can see why David Frost started crying.
He's an arse.
No. Well, I won't ask what I am.
You're an arse.
After childhood, what happened then?
Adolescence.
What was that like?
Like childhood, but with more pubic hair.
Please.
I got you there.
Yes. Certainly did. Now...
You are...
No, please. Please. Now, Lord Morgan, please. People are listening. Now, in Oxford, in the 1930s, you went up to Oxford to study the classics. And it was there you met W.H. Auden,
Puff.
Stephen Spender, Cecil Day Lewis.
Big Puff.
Now, you didn't like them, did you?
Nancy boy, communist Puff to Perks. Old Puffy Perks prancing around.
Right, okay. So you didn't like them?
You arse.
Please, don't say that again, please. Please.
If you don't want me to say it again, I won't say it again. I give you my word.
Are you a man of your word?
Nope.
Right. You've been very outspoken. You're in favour of hanging.
Only for criminals.
Right, but oddly, more recently, you've been an outspoken defender of pornography. Why?
What a man chooses to do in the privacy of his own attic. It's his business alone.
Right, but what about the feminist argument that pornography degrades women?
But is it not the case that sex degrades women? If it's any good.
Yes.
It's true.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah. Now you're in Who's Who, and
I like those prostitutes.
I'm sorry?
I like those prostitutes. They were very nice.
Who? What prostitute?
Those prostitutes you had on before.
They were guests. You can't say that. They were guests.
They looked like whores.
Don't say that.
Whores.
Don't.
Well, they
look,
did.
Look, look. I know they look like whores. You can't say that. Now, I would love to be in Who's Who. And what I've got here is my entry for Who's Who as follows.
Oh.
Alan Gordon Partridge, born April the 2nd, 1955, Norwich. Journalist, commentator, broadcaster and interviewer for Anglia TV's Sport Report, On the Hour, BBC Radio 4, host of Own Chat Show, Knowing Me, Knowing You, Radio 4 and others. Is that the sort of thing that would be an acceptable form of words with which to grace the hallowed turf of Who's Who's pages? No? I see that your own entry, you list your hobbies, food, whiskey, and your attic. I mean, do you eat often? Lord Morgan? Lord Morgan? Can we have the chief? Can we have the chief medical officer, please? Sorry.
I'm very worried. Is there anything at all?
I'm afraid to ask.
No, right. I'll deal with this. I'll deal with this.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's with great regret that I have to announce that Lord Morgan of Glossop passed away peacefully some moments ago. And on that bombshell... I can't do that. This is a profound moment. The only thing is that we perhaps observe a minute's silence In fact, I ought to cover him. I'm taking my sweater off. I'm just going to drape it over his head. I've draped my sweater over his head to preserve some dignity. As Lord Morgan sits immovable beneath the hastily improvised Pringle shroud. It seems somehow appropriate to say, this is knowing me, Alan Partridge, knowing you, Lord Morgan, rest in peace. Aha. please, one minute silence, starting now. Please, stop whatever you're doing if you're in the car, pull over. If you're on the motorway, please pull in at the next service station and observe a minute's silence in your own time. If you're on the M1, there's Scratchwood, Toddington, and Newport Pagnell, where you'll find a country kitchen. If you're on the M6, you've got Knutsford, Sandbach, and Hilton Park. So, a minute's silence. I'll have to speak periodically to show we're still broadcasting. This is Radio 4. With Alan Partridge. Dear one, waiting for the sunlight, every little rosebud is covered through, and our heart is calling for you, the thrush on high, its sleepy mate is calling, and my heart is calling you.
Songs, you play the banjo.
Here was the word. He is waiting for the sunrise. Every little rosebud is covered with dew, and my heart is calling for you.
You're covering me. Hold it. Not so fast.
Are you interested in social justice or environmental issues? Do you want to make local connections to global issues? And do you want to break outside the Queen's bubble? Well, sign up for the Ontario Public Interest Research Group's free newsletter, Ear to the Ground. It's emailed out once a week and is full of local events such as speakers, films, festivals, community arts, and activist action alerts. You can subscribe on the Oprah Kingston website. Go to www.oprg.org or call 533-3189.
It all started when I took a job as a private dick, specializing in locating people. The firm was called Pathfinders. My first job, my quest, if you will, was to focus on this regal viper and track her on her latest excursion from Tacoma to Dakota via Montana. So far as I could tell, this swift little trooper's expedition had left a Tahoe of maxima heartache from Park Avenue to Silverado. Her name was Savannah Isuzu. And I was bently on finding her, no matter how Ferrari I Honda go to do it. Besides, this little venture was my passport to the ultimate golf odyssey. And I wasn't about to pass that up. I finally saw her in a rundown bar in Surrey. Seducing her was integral to my plan. So not wanting to appear cheap, I ordered some Lamborghini and sat her next to her. She had the Mitsubishi. Audi. I said. Been looking forward to meeting you. Jimmy Durango's the name. But my friends call me Intrepid. What's your sign? I said. Taurus. I wanted to explore her right then, so I put my hand on her neon under the sable. I'm taking Vitara, I said. I was trying to impress her. She seemed intrigued by my mystique. Camaro, she whispered. So being as cavalier as I could, I leaned toward her expecting a kiss, but she dodged at the last minute and I rammed my face into the back of her chair. That Mustang, she said. Then she whispered in my ear, Jetta life, Durango. I knew right then a Hummer was out of the question. Don't call 911, I said. I Mazda mistaken you for someone looking for a Buick Chevrolet. You don't know what you're missing. I could feel her mercury rising. Lexus, get something straight, Durango, she said. If you're Lincoln, you can Rolls Royce in here, get me Lotus and probe my Volvo. You got another thing coming, Pontiac. I knew right then she was no Porsche over. But I had my pride, Hyundai. I wasn't about to legacy my embarrassment. Toyota have the bouncer throw you out, she said. But I Cadillac ya. My low self-esteem seemed to echo through the bar, but it was but a prelude to the insight I gained when she Volkswagen vanished like a mirage on the breeze. You go! I shouted. Chrysler, she's good, I thought. I suffered from Sonoma that night. A night that seemed to go on for infinity. When morning finally came, it felt like a century had passed, and I knew my days as a pathfinder were over. She'd sent her that. I'd never find a cure for the heartache she caused me, and die woo the day I heard the name Savannah Isuzu.
Hello, my name's Sheila Rogers. I work at CBC Radio now, but my best radio days were at CFRC. 101.9 FM now or CFRC.ca. We could never have thought of the internet back in the 70s. It's great that you're listening. Stay with us.